Welcome to Shrink Wrap, a podcast where Fran and Becky give proper respect to various mental health and wellness topics
while adding in a little bit of smart assery that they just can't seem to contain.
This podcast cannot and does not constitute therapy advice.
However, we do hope that you find the information we share with you helpful and entertaining.
Please be advised that this podcast discusses topics that can be sensitive to some listeners. Use appropriate discretion.
Welcome.
Hey, everybody. Welcome.
Hey, will you guys be honest with me for a second?
Oh, boy. I mean, are you ready for that?
Yeah. But I asked you this before, and I don't know if I can trust you on it, but do I sound nasal?
Nasally?
In general. I mean, not just today.
I think it's just your voice.
I think so, too.
Yeah. It's like, remember? It's not bad. It just is.
I don't like it. It's like Drescher. Remember Fran Drescher,
the nanny? You're not at that level.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. But no, seriously.
And then your name's Fran.
See?
I don't know. Do you want to try a different voice, like right here on the air in front of all of us?
I can't do that Brody switcheroo. That's like.
you can be whoever you want to be.
Try to deepen it and talk like this.
My God.
Tell me how you're feeling. I think that could really be great for your clients.
Or how about this? Hi, I'm Fran.
Oh, God.
We don't have the frequency for that one.
Some dogs just went bananas.
Oh, my God. Okay, the best thing to be watching right now is Shrinking on Apple.
100%.
I will back you up on that.
I will watch it.
Fantastic.
No, it's fantastic. And what I love about it is Harrison Ford is the most sarcastic motherfucker I have ever seen in my life.
He's your spirit animal, that's for sure.
He is. Yeah. He totally is. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah. Jessica Williams just nails it. She just kills it. I got to be honest. It's not my favorite Jason Segel performance.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. I think he's like, he obviously grows, but he grows in really predictable ways that I'm kind of like, oh, I mean, okay. We all saw that coming. I think the daughter is great. Harrison Ford, it's good to see him taking a role seriously.
Yes.
I'm obviously a big Star Wars guy and he did not take those roles seriously.
Oh, no.
But yeah, I think he now is going into the Marvel Cinematic Universe too. So hopefully,
what is he now? A superhero?
How do you follow all of this, Brody? Shit. Where do you get time?
Come on, like, keep up, guys. On Reddit and TikTok. So Thunderbolt Ross, who was played by William Hurt. He was played by William Hurt in the earlier Hulk movies and in Civil War.
Didn't he die?
He died.
Yes.
So they need a new Thunderbolt Ross. So Harrison Ford is the new General Thunderbolt Ross.
No idea. I don't even know who Thunderbolt Ross is.
I know you don't.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
But I'm sorry.
Well, there you go. Okay. I have an announcement. Okay. We are currently doing the Shred event, Fighting Suicide One Shred at a Time. This is being held right now, April 21 through May 3rd.
Well, it is right now. I'm sorry. I was going to say, no, that's tomorrow because I don't know how podcasts work.
God.
It's been real, you guys. I'm out of here.
Oh, my God.
From the future.
Yes. And we're the shrinks. And that's where So 405 Northwest 8th Avenue, Suite 204. There are lock shred bins. Do your good deed. It's just a free will donation and $10 minimum suggestion per bin.
Okay, so how does this work and how does it fight suicide?
Okay, so how does it work? We have huge bins and you come and you bring your stuff. We put them in locked bins and then they have to be.
And again, by stuff, we mean papers, not like your unwanted bikes that you want
to get. Or CDs.
Thank you, yes. Yeah. We're talking about confidential paper documents locked between behind two locked doors until they're shredded. Everything is locked and protected. And everything goes to the suicide awareness.
The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, I believe, is who you're partnering with.
So all the shreds go to them, or you have to pay?
The money.
That's what I mean.
Gotcha.
And then they take the confidential information, sell it on the dark web, and that's how we fight suicide, kids.
Yes, because then, like Argo.
Right.
Okay.
And then you have to pay us in order for us not to release it.
I love that plan. I know. It's great. It's extortion with extra steps.
That's great.
Okay, so you pay us to just a donation to get your stuff shredded.
Right.
And then the money goes to suicide awareness.
Yes. I love it. Oh, it says proceeds benefit the Aberdeen Area Out of Darkness Community Walk.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which they do a great job.
They really do. Absolutely. So, Brody, take it away.
If you like what you're seeing here, the really free, low-key, just simple way to support us is to send a review, but also to give a recommendation. Send this episode to somebody. I just sent, like, I mean, not this podcast, obviously, but because I don't listen to my own voice after three times. But I just sent a podcast to somebody and said, hey, listen to this. This is great. And so
it was us, you guys. Yeah. It was us. And I did listen to it.
That's right. Yeah, I said the same show to somebody else, so that is true. But it's a great way to get it out into the algorithms, and if you like what you hear, then you can subscribe. So yeah, hit that subscribe wherever you are getting this, and then leave a review. That helps it put give the robots permission to put it up farther into
your into asshole
the stratosphere.
Oh my god. And this is how we're gonna go today.
Okay.
Wait. We haven't even talked about what we're talking about.
Oh, do we have to?
Well, I think they'd like to know.
All right, let's do it.
So a very timely topic. It's called mental load, and I'm not all together here today, so it should be fun.
And because April is Stress Awareness Month.
It is, and I think we're all experiencing stress in celebration.
Right. Courting?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the first
I was so hopeful. Like, that was the best it's ever been.
It was so seamless.
And then she just steps on it. Boom. Just, all right. Go ahead.
That's my favorite.
I need to just go home. Okay.
I don't know why I even made the thing.
I know it. According to a 2017 report by Bright Horizons. Now, listen to this carefully, Brody. Because you are the bearded, you are the bearded unicorn, really. Okay, here it is. Primary breadwinning women are three times more likely than breadwinning fathers to be keepers of their children's schedules and responsible for getting them to all of the things, 34% more likely to manage the family finances, 30% more likely to organize all the family hoopla's, and 38% more likely to take care of home maintenance. 52% say they were burning out. Boy, that's shocking.
Okay, wait a minute.
I knew this was coming.
I gotta read this.
Wow. Okay, here we go. Ooh, okay. He's grabbing papers.
Well, so... Yeah. Okay, 30% more likely? Like, what's the statistical average then?
Oh, God, here we go.
Well, no, I'm serious. Like, if that's from zero, then, I mean...
It's not that much.
I think it's more likely than men. I don't know. I don't
it's
look
just
up Bright Horizons.
It doesn't, yeah.
It's not my factoid. Okay. I am not Bright Horizons. I'm Bright.
So... Okay, go
I got
ahead,
stressed.
Sorry.
I just got stressed listening to you read it.
Yeah. I know it.
Yeah, I'm crying a little bit on the inside.
I am too. I feel
this whole episode was written about my life.
Yeah,
and your life,
mm-hmm.
and Brody's life.
Yeah,
and a lot of our listeners' lives.
Right.
And Brody, it was your idea to do the episode on
it
mental
was,
load.
Because,
and when I read it, I was like, fucking brilliant.
I'm going to have to be real careful about what I say here. But I mean, so all couples fight about like the top three things, right? It's money, sex, and chores, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this, I think, encapsulates that. And maybe this is just a buzzword and maybe y'all are getting to this, but I had never heard of this until, I don't know, a year or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then now this is the thing that we call it, which maybe it's just life. Like we all have shit to remember. So she does remember when the kids need a haircut and I remember to get the garbage out every week, but it mm-hmm. doesn't mean that the mental load is any different. I don't fucking know,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's.
I'm going to say this because Jim does not listen to our podcast.
Okay, there you go. Let it rip.
I really do think that my mental load is significantly different mm-hmm. than his. Because I am the one that I do the boarding appointments for the dogs. If we're going to be out of town, I book the hotels when we're going to be out of town. I schedule the camps. I do the meal planning. I do the grocery shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And he does, don't get me wrong. He does a lot. Like the oils, you know, oil gets changed in the car. He does all the mowing. He does all that stuff. But just the day to day shit is a lot.
Mm-hmm. And it does take a toll on mm-hmm. you. Yeah.
And I don't think he would argue. I really don't think, because I'm not saying he doesn't contribute. He contributes a lot, more than a lot,
mm-hmm.
More than a lot of men. But it's just different.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't know where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
If I didn't say we got to drop the dogs off at 10 a.m. on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
our dogs would be left home alone.
Right.
And then can you imagine what we come home to?
Oh, God. Yeah.
Oh, so the study also found that the more a woman earns, the more responsibility she will carry at home.
Ooh.
And as another study published in the journal Sex Roles found, all of this affects women's well-being and can lead to feelings of emptiness. Oh, I'm not empty. Full of rage,
homicide.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Some of you might be full of emptiness. I'm full of rage.
There you go. Yeah. So there is a book entitled Fed Up by Gemma Hartley, and it really takes a deep dive into the unpaid invisible work that women have carried, and let's create a better future, right? She's focusing on that. But in her book, okay, when I read this, oh man. Okay, she describes being forced into the role of the omniscient logistical manager for the whole family, cleaning up after her husband and watching him walk past a box he left in the middle of the room every day instead of just putting it back.
Wow.
Okay, what
passive aggressive much?
Whoa.
Is it passive aggressive or is he just like, it doesn't matter?
I think it's passive aggressive. I think if she wants the box put away or whatever this was, I think it's on her to say, would you please put that box away? And then when he doesn't, then I think he's kind of mm-hmm. a jerk. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah. So like, I just got done complaining about everything I do. I bring mm-hmm. that on myself. I do it because then I know it gets done right. And I'm not saying I'm the only, it's like my way. I want it done my way because uh-huh. then I just feel comfortable with that. I could say to Jim, please go to the grocery store for me. Mm-hmm. And he would.
Yeah.
And he would come back with bread and milk, which nobody in our house drinks, and Oreos mm-hmm. because you can't have milk without Oreos.
Well, duh.
Yeah. And that's what we would have.
Right. Okay.
So he would do it.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I don't know. That's just what I'm saying. So I you want to chime in, Brody?
Well, yeah. So I think a lot of this comes down to the mind reading thing. I don't know what to call it, but like, I'm really bad at reading my wife's mind. I have a general sense, but I also have my own things that I know that need to get done, not just for me, but for the things that I take care of in the house. So when I don't pick up that box, it's A, because I don't see it because I'm doing other things.
Right.
And if it bothered you so goddamn much, then just tell me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then I can do it. Like, and of course that then like that. For every woman listening who just said, if you would just see it, then I wouldn't have to tell you. And if I don't have to tell you, then it's off of my mental load and all that. So I get where the like one ups, not the one upmanship, but the cycle, how it gets there. But I don't know.
It's a tough one for me. I get it, but I don't, because maybe you're not seeing the box because you're looking at the dusting that needs to be done or whatever it is that you do. And I think we all just notice different things. Like, mm-hmm. you know, Jim is out there mowing the lawn at least once a week in the summer here, or blowing snow or whatever it is. I would just drive over it. You know, I don't think about the fact that it's
Becky. And then it turns into sheer ice.
I know.
And then it ruts and it's a whole thing.
And that's his first thought, but not my first thought. Right. You know, so I think that's why he has to say to me, hey, if you come home for lunch today, don't pull into the driveway. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to have a chance to shovel and I don't want you to drive back over the tracks. And I'm like, oh yeah, okay. Cause I totally would have pulled into the driveway.
Right.
Yeah. So I think we're all just different and that's where the communication comes in.
Mm-hmm.
But the mind reading thing does drive people nuts. And it's like, just be, and maybe it's me, maybe it's Italian people. It's like, could you please pick up the fucking box mm-hmm. and don't jump over it like the FTD florist? You know, it's like, just pick it up. I mean, why is that so hard? But you're right. What I hear from a lot of couples is they say, why should I have to tell them? They should just know.
Yeah, they should just know.
Certainly never heard that in my house.
No, right. Okay.
So, Fran, what is mental load? What is it?
You tell me, Becky Boo.
Well, there I can't because there's an F by it.
No, there isn't. There's a...
Oh, this is how mine copied. Oh, my copier didn't work.
Okay.
Mental load is the cognitive. I cannot English today, you guys. It's the cognitive effort involved in managing your work, relationships, a family, and a household. Mental load is all the details you manage throughout the day. It is all of your roles and responsibilities, as well as the decisions you have to make. That's a lot.
And it's invisible, it's relentless, and it often goes unnoticed by others. It comes from all aspects of your life, work, family, organizations that you're a part of, your friends. And, I'll give you a good example of this. Like for me, after seeing clients and after writing a podcast and doing mm-hmm. a podcast, whatever, all the things, and then somebody will be like, where do you want to go eat? The last fucking thing. All I want is for you to say, we are going here to eat. I don't care if we're eating dirt. I just don't want to have to think about another decision.
I don't want to make one more choice.
Yeah.
That seems like a trap though, because then like if you don't want to go to Mexican, but you really wanted to go out for steak, but I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll have your margarita ready, but you don't want to be there in the first place.
I would go.
I'm just being respectful asking you what the fuck you want
to
eat.
No, and I would just say to you, Brody, that's so kind, but I will eat whatever you want and drink whatever you want.
So what you're talking about, Brody, actually happened in our house. When the kids were little, so it's been a while, and I come home and I'm like, why do I have to work 8 to 5 and come home and make supper and feed everybody? And Jim's just, you know, wide-eyed because he doesn't know why I've turned into this person. And he's like, well, we'll go out to eat. That's no big deal. We can go out to eat. You know, we'll just go to Guadalajara's. And I'm like, I don't want Mexican. And he's like, that's fine. You know, we can go here. And I'm like, I don't want a burger. And the man, God bless his cotton socks, takes a deep breath and puts his hand on my shoulder and he goes, hey, honey, I'm here for you.
Okay? Oh, no way.
And we will go out to eat tonight, but you cannot shoot down every single idea we come up with.
Oh my God.
And if he would have said it any other way, we probably would be divorced right now.
Yeah.
And so such a huge tribute to him to be able, I'm sure he wanted to punch me in the fucking throat as he should have. Yeah. But instead he was like, no, we will go out to eat, but you just got to let it. Have you seen the thing? I've seen it on probably Facebook where it's that old farmer in the Dell toy where you pull the string and then, but you put different restaurants.
Oh.
So you pull the string and wherever it lands, that's where you go eat. Yeah.
Perfect.
Oh, it's the Key and Peele sketch, right? Have you seen this one?
No.
So it's two couples get together for a housewarming and the guys go off and the girls go off and the guys are like, we would have been here 20 minutes ago, but she didn't know what she wanted to wear. I'm like, why don't you just wear that? You look great. No, she went and changed. And I was like, and then they look at each other, look all around. They go, I was like, bitch. Just wear that. Oh, you did that though? You called your wife a bitch? I'm like, well, but so then they keep getting farther and farther away from the women. Like, and then she said, I want to go to DeMonaco's, the first place I knew she wanted to go in the first place. And I was like, why didn't you just say that then?
Oh, God, I know.
It's perfect.
Oh, I love it. Well, let's talk about some examples of mental load because we haven't talked about enough of them.
Right, let's do.
Remembering colleagues, friends, and family members' birthdays, buying gifts, or doing some other like celebration, whether maybe it's flowers or a card or whatever.
Organizing check-ins at work to see if team members are on track with projects.
Oh, my favorite. Menu planning, shopping lists, grocery shopping. Woo! Paying bills. I think couples should have to pay bills together. Again, I can say that because Jim doesn't listen to this and he pays our bills.
Yes, no, I agree. I do. Planning family vacations.
Yes, that is really stressful. Mm-hmm. Do you plan your vacations?
Yes, I do.
Do you plan your vacations,
we
Brody?
We plan them together because our schedules are so bananas. We have to do it together. Once the destination is decided on, then I'm mostly the one who's like, okay, and this is the itinerary, and she doesn't really care.
Okay.
But, See, I plan it. One time, Jim and my brother Larry, if you're listening, Larry, you'll remember this, and Jacob all drove down to Texas to watch the Bison play in the playoffs or in the championship game. And they get home, and Jacob's like, Mom, we stayed in this one hotel. It was really cool. There was a great big dark spot in the middle of the carpet.
Ew.
Yeah. I'm like somebody got, I'm looking at Jim, like somebody got murdered, and Jim's like, nah, I was fine. So that's why I do the vacation planning, because we're not going to stay in a hotel where somebody may have been murdered or deer dressed. We don't know.
Ew.
But I don't want to anything about that.
Ew, yeah. Puked. Who knows?
A deer was dressed, not a person got deer dressed, because that just takes it to a
totally it really
different.
Does. Okay. That got dark, didn't just, it? Real fast.
Like just what I'm pretty sure that's what you meant. I didn't know if you were going
somebody
full
dressed
on
a deer in the room.
They,
yeah.
There you go.
And for our listeners who aren't, that means you got it, whatever. You're welcome for that tidbit.
Oh, God.
Keeping track of daily parenting related tasks. This includes things like clothing and lunches, doctor's appointments, school assignments, after school activities, play dates. Oh, my gosh. As well as the emotional well-being and development of your child.
Right. And being emotionally supportive of your partner when they are struggling.
Making a million decisions like what to make for supper, where to go on vacation, does the dog need to go to the vet, whether you should take on another responsibility. Hey, could you do this for the church group, activities, civic arena, whatever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So there is a difference between emotional labor and mental load. And we're going to teach you what that is.
Dum, dum, dum.
I know. So emotional labor is the way people regulate their emotional responses. So what is my response at work and my personal relationships? This was developed by Dr. Arlie Hochschild.
Hochschild.
Thank you.
Hochschild.
Okay.
Looks like a good old German name.
Yeah.
Here is how it differs from mental load. So for example, barista smiling and being cheerful to customers, even if they're having a bad day. Or if you've ever flown, flight attendants being calm and friendly when passengers are rude and drunk.
Right. And so, again, this is focusing on their emotional reaction. So spending quality time with your mother-in-law when you secretly want to bury her in your backyard. Right. So
emotional labor.
Yes. Emotional labor is managing or regulating your emotional expressions, where mental load comes from managing all of the invisible and intangible tasks.
So that makes sense. Emotional labor, handling emotions, mental load, tasks, and ideas.
There you go. Hey, Becky, why is the Northern State University graduate program in counseling so awesome?
I could go on forever, but let's talk about the fact that you can get a clinical degree where you can work in private practice or an agency, or you can get a school counseling degree on the school track where you can work in a school as private school, parochial school, public school, any school you want to. And then my favorite.
What?
Forensic counseling.
Super cool. Yes. But is it KCREB approved?
It is KCREB approved. And you're like, what does that mean? You know what? It means that it has the gold standard of grad schools.
Super awesome. But can I afford it? Because I don't have a lot of money.
It's okay. If you go to northern.edu, you can apply for some scholarships. They have a couple of counseling specific scholarships in addition to some other really fantastic scholarships that a guidance counselor or a admissions counselor can help you with.
Awesome. Be Northern, unleash your potential, baby.
Oh. What are the consequences of mental load? Oh, they're fun. Emotional exhaustion.
That's shocking.
Constantly thinking about the responsibilities and tasks involved in your career, relationships, and household. And this can lead to
lack of motivation. Like, I do not want to do one more damn thing. Poor self-care. You know, like women coming in with like chipped nails and greasy hair because they don't have
time.
They
don't want to shower. Yeah.
Right. Health issues, being crabby AF.
You just put, what? The nail? Say again that chipped nails are a form of poor self-care?
Well, like if you don't
just, world. Yeah, I was going to say, are we just... gatekeeping here a little bit?
No, look at my nails, Brody. Right. I don't even have them. But I'm just saying, women, if everybody is so fucking upset if they can't get their nails done now, like, that's a thing.
Is it really?
Yes. Okay. Nobody wears makeup anymore, but they better have their nails manicured. Oh. And so, yeah, it's a thing.
Well, good for them.
I know. I think so, too. But I'm just saying that could be.
I'm not saying, but I'm saying.
Okay. Burnout. People with mental load often don't have much time to relax or take care of themselves. And even when they're trying to enjoy me time, all they're doing is thinking about, but I've got this to do. And then I've got this to do. And then what about this?
I've never experienced that.
Me neither.
That's a foreign concept for me.
Interesting. This can lead to burnout, which is a state of severe emotional, physical, and mental exhaustion. Burnout can also lead to a pessimistic outlook and the feeling that they have nothing left to give others. After the pandemic, I relate to that so hard. I didn't know what burnout was until like November of 2020 through probably February of 21.
Mm-hmm.
And it was ugly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oy. And then how does this tie into mental health? It leads to depression and anxiety for many people.
Trouble falling asleep, sleep deprivation, sleep issues. That was my big one. I would take more than my recommended amount of sleep medication, not because I wanted to die, but because I would take the recommended amount. Like, well, that didn't work. An hour later, I'm still up. I would take another one. And then 3 hours later.
Yeah, but you were up doing racist tweets, which is what the recommended amount of Ambien is for.
So, right, isn't it?
No, I take trazodone because I don't want to do those things. And I was telling my doctor, I'm like, I'm taking twice the normal amount and I'm still like maybe getting 3 hours of sleep a night. It was just stupid and frustrating. And this can create other problems such as compromising the immune system, being irritable with those around you. I didn't do that. So I can't relate at all. Nope. And even disconnecting emotionally from your loved ones.
So what about mental load in the workplace? Not that that ever happens.
Ever.
But for example, a team member may assume the unrecognized responsibility of extra work just to make sure that things are done timely and to preserve the peace and the wah. Remember, we were preserving the wah and productivity in the group.
Not the wah.
Not the wah. Wah, but the wah. Most of these little or not so little extras involve a lot of remembering work.
They do. I always think of like when I worked with you at NPPA, now that I work at Northern, like our secretary keeps track of all the birthdays, or if somebody has experienced a loss, they're the ones that send the card around for everybody to sign.
Yep.
How?
I know.
It just blows my mind. Mental load examples in the workplace can include reminding colleagues to handle essential tasks.
Like micromanaging, scheduling meetings, generating video call links, booking meeting rooms, ensuring attendance and taking notes, keeping the office stocked with supplies,
planning the after work events, colleagues' birthday cards, team social calendar. The problem with taking on these extra responsibilities, I'm looking at what Fran typed here. Responsibilititis.
It's responsibilititis.
That's what it looks like. If you take on extra responsibilities, that adds to your existing mental load. It's actually increasing my morale. But it can lead to poor morale and burnout. I didn't notice that the first time.
Oh my God, that's pretty awesome. Okay, that's a Freudian slip.
Responsibilities.
Fran only wishes she had titties. Responsibility titties. Anyway, okay.
We're going to start a sticker line. That'll be the first one. Hang on to your responsibility titties.
Oh, God.
Okay, sorry.
All right, so there is a concept in social psychology called social loafing. I hate social loafers. These are people who put in less effort to achieve a goal when they're working in a group because they know some bitch is going to be doing it all, right? So they're going to rely on this other person to make all the decisions and do all of the mental work. Meanwhile, they're eating donuts, and they're benefiting from this.
Right. If you're the group member, they're like, I don't know, I love group work. It never stresses me out. You're the loafer.
Right, there you go. Exactly.
It is you. Tips to deal with mental load. Be honest with yourself and determine whether mental load is negatively impacting your quality of life.
So if you are experiencing mental load and you are in a marriage or a partnership, talk to your partner, boss, or family member. Let them know, hey, I've got a lot of invisible tasks going on and they are really wearing on me mentally and physically. Be assertive and specifically about what needs to change. Like, for example, I hear from people in therapy and they'll be like, well, I started this job and I was doing this job description and then I'm super efficient. Mm-hmm. And then in 9 months later, I'm doing this huge job description with extra responsibility. Bill of titty titties. And I'm not getting paid for those, right? Mm-hmm. And so you've got to be assertive and meet with your boss and be like, hey, we need to update the job description because now I'm doing all these other things and I need to be paid for them. Laying out a chore responsibility list for kids and consequences for not doing their share.
Yes.
So delegate, people. Go after those freaking social loafers and ask yourself, okay, does something, first of all, does it really have to be done? You know, my husband says, and I can tell, I can say because he's not listening. Well, he will be like, well, that's important to you, but that might not be important to everyone. You know what I mean? Like, because I'm OCD and I think, that, yes, it's fucking important. And it was important yesterday.
And if it's important to me, Mark, it is important to you.
To the universe, right? But be thinking about who else can do it. Mm-hmm. Remember the golden rule. The more you do, Becky Cook, the less other people do.
You know, it was funny because I'm doing a training coming up and I've got a couple of people donating door prizes to the attendees. I'm pointing at Brody because he's one of the people that donated for us. And my boss was in this morning and he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I got to do this and this and whatever. And I said, I got to run and get these door prizes. And he goes, you know, we have somebody that does that. And I'm like, I didn't.
You have a door prize doer?
Well,
buyer?
It's a grad student and he's just in charge. He's got some things he's in charge of. And then also helping out all of us when we have special projects.
Also getting coffee and picking up door prizes.
Yeah.
Why not?
I did. I said,
he's a grad student.
Okay. So. I said, if he does it this morning, I can get a coffee. And he's like, oh, it'll probably be tomorrow afternoon. I'm like, damn it. Damn it, Jacob. But self-care needs to happen. This may mean getting a regular massage. Amen to that. Sticking to a regular sleep schedule, unplugging from social media, and limiting the number of office limiting the amount of office work you do at home. That's a huge one. Mm-hmm. That's a really big one. I very rarely take my work computer home. Don't want it at home.
But do you look at your emails on your phone?
Very rarely.
Oh, good.
Yeah, very rarely.
Good for you.
My work emails.
Yeah.
The other million emails. Yeah, I look at those. Seek help from a professional if you do not know how to approach your colleagues, partner, or family. So again, reach out to a therapist. They can help you find ways to cope with stress and improve your assertiveness skills.
Right. So what is the greatest form of self-care, Brody? Here's a little quiz. You should know this by now.
Masturbation.
Yes!
Yeah, am I right?
Yeah.
Podcast over. Thanks for tuning in.
Peace out. Boundaries are the greatest form of self-care. Being able to say, no, thank you, rather than assuming the extra work.
I have to go masturbate.
Yeah, exactly. And refusing to impinge on precious family time are great examples. Strive for balance. Remember the pie chart in one of our previous podcasts? A balanced life is comprised with fairly equal time for work and family, self-care, home responsibility, titty titties, and the rest.
Set the goal to speak up for yourself and do things differently. If you don't stand up for yourself, who is going to? And it's really easy to feel self-righteous and full of resentment. Mm-hmm. So it's important to stand up.
Remember how I love to put little children to work?
Yes.
Parenting. Raise your kids to do all of the tasks, not gender specific.
This episode is sponsored by Fran's Sweatshop. Yes. All the best sweatpants made right here in the USA in my basement.
Oh my God.
By neighborhood children.
I love it. Consider all aspects of household management, like paying bills and scheduling their own damn appointments and helping them make a budget as they get older and using and keeping a daily planner. These are life skills. And in couples therapy, what I see a lot is that you've got one person who's functioning as the parent, mm-hmm. the other one is the child, they're parenting the child spouse, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And who wants to have sex with their child spouse? They're making to-do lists for them, they're mm-hmm. nagging them. And it's like, even if one of the people is doing the chore chart for the kids, that's mental load.
Yeah.
So distributing that more equally, I think, really does make for a stronger, more attraction in a marriage. Yeah.
A bigger bond, that's for sure.
Right.
Because you're like a team.
Right. Instead of a parent-child dynamic.
Because we don't want that. Because resentment comes from when one partner has no time for leisure while their partner does seem to have all the time in the world to relax. Now, that doesn't mean you both always have to be busy. I don't know. Well, Fran probably doesn't do this because she never sits still. But like when I'm sitting on the couch and I'm watching Jim do whatever he might be doing, I'm like, I should get up and do something. And then I'm like, no, I don't. I just did something.
Right.
Yeah. I don't have to get up just because he's up.
Right. What are you laughing at?
What?
Oh God.
It was like last weekend, I was sitting on the couch and she comes out from taking a nap, by the way. And then she starts, we affectionately in the house call it rage cleaning. Like she just decided the kitchen isn't clean enough. So she just starts. And so she's like, can you turn that off and help me? And I'm like, oh, well, you seemed like you wanted to do it. And I was pretty happy over here on the couch after I've been taking care of the children and playing games with them for the past 2 hours. But yeah, you bet. I'll get up and rage clean for 45 minutes. How was your nap? Was that good? Okay.
Yeah, and then guess who didn't get laid that night? That would be Brody. Couples counseling is a great resource, especially if one partner has mental health or physical health issues or an addiction. Okay, so.
Example.
All right, I want to ask both Becky and Brody for your reaction. Brecky and Brody for your reactions.
Okay.
So Brody, you're facing an upcoming deadline for an important work project. And you ask your partner to quietly entertain the kids for a few minutes, right? A few hours.
Well, that was Brody's last weekend.
That's okay, so wait. Yeah. Let me just finish. Are you going to Okay, when you take your break for lunch, you leave your home office, and then you come back and you find the kitchen counter and table is covered with dirty mixing bowls, utensils, baking ingredients, and the sink is full of dishes. When you ask your lovely wife about the mess, she says, oh, you need me to help you clean up too?
Oh, well, that's just a passive aggressive bullshit right there. Nope. That's half of where I thought that was going. But no, that's some passive aggressive bullshit. And if you're going to do a project with the kids, then you clean up the project with the kids. Like, mm-hmm. And obviously you communicate, I got this thing going on. Can you take point? That's what we say in our, you take point on the kids today? Mm-hmm. Or I'm checking out. I need to. And no.
So for you, taking point means like you've got the kids, but then you've got to clean the mess of the kids. Is that what you mean?
Or we'll go somewhere or we'll do something. But they're not responsible. My wife isn't responsible for the aftermath. That's bullshit.
Yeah. So if I'm going to keep them entertained by baking cupcakes, I'm not going to say, okay, Jim, now clean up all the mess. I'm glad you got your work project done, but now you need to clean. I mean, maybe if something came up, I would.
That's just bad teamwork.
But for the most part, I helped them. I kept them entertained. I'll go ahead and clean up the mess.
Because then guess what? They're doing chores, right? And they can load the dishwasher.
I love that, Brody.
So what are you thinking?
Oh, I agree. Hell no. Oh, my God. Yeah.
And don't, you need me to clean the mess up too? Don't say it like that.
No. That's passive aggressive. Yeah. But don't you hear, at least I hear some women in therapy say, but you know, I mean, he had the kids, and it's like, I know that, you know, there was four dishwasher loads of dishes that weren't filled. So maybe I should just do it. And, you know, and it's like, okay, really? And you're not resentful about that?
I mean, I could see, like, if Jim was keeping the kids entertained and I came out, I'm going to be like, dude, good job. I'll do the dishes. Mm-hmm. Like, then that's different.
If
that's
you me. Volunteer.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I will gladly do the dishes. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
That's just what I needed.
Yeah.
That's a little different.
Yes,
but
it is.
Not snarky.
Yeah.
According to Dr. Melissa Estevillo, choose a time when you have privacy and no distractions. Prepare your partner by letting them know you'd like to talk about something important.
And then they run for the hills.
And then they run and they're like, oh gosh, she's gonna make me choose where to go to dinner again. Estevillo recommends opening with a shared value, equality in your relationship. So you might say, I know you value contributing equally to our relationship.
Right.
Yes, you do.
And I think you may not realize that I have more responsibilities that go unnoticed. See, I like it different. I like to use Brene Brown.
Okay, let me hear it.
This is the story I'm telling myself.
When
I come home and the story I tell myself is I am the only one that does stuff around here. Mm-hmm.
So you say that out loud to Jim?
Yeah.
Okay.
But in a very like non-accusatory sort of way. And mm-hmm. it's basically saying, I'm not saying this is fact.
Yeah, this is.
But this is what I tell myself.
Okay.
And then it gives the other person a chance to refute your story or prove your story wrong.
Yeah.
Right. I think part of using that is you have to be vulnerable enough to say, this is the story I'm telling myself. Yep. Is that accurate?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not, then tell me how it's not. And you have to be willing to hear that.
Yep. Right. Exactly.
Okay. So using I statements mm-hmm. as well. I feel frustrated when you ask for a task list where there are dishes in the sink, laundry overflowing, and pet hair all over the floor. Making a list of what needs to be done and delegating those responsibilities makes me feel like your mama, your partner.
Or I appreciate your willingness to help around the house. And I wonder if you could try jumping in to help instead of saying, just ask me if you need help.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big one. And so you're not asking them to like, you better notice that damn box in the middle of the room. But, you know, if Jim is up doing work and I'm sitting on the couch, I could say, hey, would you like me to help you right now?
Mm-hmm.
And then he can say, no, you're good. Or yeah, it'd be nice if you came out here and help me.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay. So here I go again for the 400th time.
Uh-oh.
Making kids do chores from an early age. And these are opportunities. This is what I want you to hear. Chores are opportunities. They can include hygiene, like brushing their teeth, exercising, doing their homework, mm-hmm. practicing an instrument, pet chores, household tasks. Account for management and cognitive tasks when divvying up responsibilities. You don't think about this because who's making the appointments for like doctors mm-hmm. and dentists is mental work, right? Mm-hmm. Who's planning the parties? Who's buying the presents? I hate wrapping presents, by the way.
Right?
I just shove them in a bag,
yeah,
you know, and stick that crinkly shit mm-hmm. on top. Oh, God,
beautiful.
That was best invention ever. Who is keeping the weekly activity calendar, divvy up the mental tasks as mm-hmm. well as the physical tasks.
So I have to tell you guys a story. So it was this winter. We were driving home from a basketball game and Grace's back was hurting her quite a bit. She'd been having some back pain. So it's like 10:30 at night and she's on the bus and we're in a car and she texts and she goes, I really need to get into the chiropractor. Now you guys, she does dual credits, which means she doesn't always have to be at school. Sometimes she's at home doing homework for college classes, whatever. So I don't know her schedule. I just don't. And so I screenshot our chiropractor's phone number. And mm-hmm. I said, here's Dr. Derek's phone number. Just, you can reach out and make your own appointment. And she goes, well, should I just text him right now? And I'm like, well, no, honey child, because it's 11 o'clock at night. And that's his office number. So no, we're not going to text Dr. Derek at his office.
Oh my God.
And then the next morning, I'm like, I send her a text. Don't forget to call Dr. Derek today. And she goes, well, what am I supposed to say?
Oh my God.
I typed it out. Hi, this is Grace Cook. I would like to make an appointment with Dr. Derek for an adjustment.
Mm-hmm. But that's teaching her how to do it.
I know, but I mean, but for the love of Pete, like, why did I have to tell her that?
I know, but it's good.
And she did it, and we celebrated. We're like, look at you.
Yeah?
Growing up so fast.
I love it, and I bet she can do it now.
You know what she can figure out how to do is make that nail appointment.
Oh, see?
Didn't need mom to help with that one. Ah. Nope, she had that one all figured out.
I bet she didn't text that at midnight.
Nope. So above all, emphasize that you'd like them to notice things that need to be done in your shared home and family. So with your partner, you can both use a scheduling app like the cozy.com calendar. I love the cozy calendar. Or set reminders on your phone to remember important tasks. And then check in with each other to make sure that you're being consistent and you both feel satisfied. And that's where the communication comes in. Mm-hmm. Don't say, remember we talked about you unloading the dishwasher and you never fucking do it.
Right.
Instead, you want to say, hey, remember we talked about you doing the, you know, you unload the dishwasher and then I'll load it. And I, if you could just quick unload it, that'd be great.
Let go of control, Becky Cove.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
things might,
what's that pot?
Things might not get done exactly the way you would like them to. So including disciplining the kids. Yeah. But back off. Let your partner have more latitude rather than criticizing or micromanaging or redoing the task, which is not a
good
plan.
Don't you hear that a lot in couples counseling?
Oh, yes. A lot. And the Gottmans basically say it should be a 5-to-1 ratio of asking for or saying one thing that's kind of a criticism, 5 positives to 1 negative. And the best thing to do to get laid is say, thank you. So I never say it, but I'm just saying, if you want to get laid, you should say it more.
Yeah. No, that's why I don't say it either. I did see a thing the other day that said there are 2 types of people living in a house that load a dishwasher. Mm-hmm. And one is a structural engineer and the other one is a raccoon on meth. I am the raccoon on meth.
Me too.
So Jim loves to load the dishwasher because he's like, I don't even know how you live your life the way.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, I live my life the way I load the dishwasher, which is why I'm so stressed out.
Just shove that shit in there.
Shove it in there. Oh, yeah. So our sources for today, Crystal Raypole has previously worked as a writer and editor for Good Therapy.
And Aaron, oh, sorry, I stole this from you. Etaw, PhD.
That's all I got.
That's it. And we are the Shrinks.
That's a wrap.